revealed truths are promoted, and no scripture or human being accepted as infallible. This is a place for searching for truth. But we are believers. We believe in intellectual freedom. We believe in justice. We believe in compassion and concern for each other and the whole world. We believe in commitment to those ideals which make us caring and active in the struggles for human dignity. We are Unitarian Universalists. I offer my welcome to you, and in particular, to those who are first-time visitors. We welcome you and especially encourage you to join us after worship for coffee and conversation in our fellowship hall. Information about the church is available from the new member desk during coffee hour and from any of the people here gathered. We invite you to fill out one of the visitor cards found in the back of the gray hymnal and place the card in the offering plate or hand it to an usher. We'll send you our church newsletter for the next 3 months to let you know about the programs and activities going on here at the church. We are glad you are here and hope to see you again on future Sundays. We do have a professionally staffed nursery for infants and young children. And we welcome everyone into this home of comfort, spirit, justice, and hope. I have some announcements. Mona Hebert, who's not here today, will be collecting shoes for the Shoes Into Water project until Sunday the 24th of May. And she wants to thank you all for your contributions so far.
Good morning. My name is Reverend Sunshine Jeremiah Wolf. I am the interim minister here at the First Unitarian Church of Alton. That means that I am here only while the congregation is in search for a new minister. I have one more year on my contract, and then I will be off onto other things, and you will hopefully be on into your next phase of your journey as a congregation. I add my welcome, and I have a few announcements myself. One, you may have noticed out in the Kate Worker Room on the wall is a calendar for next year. And it has the different months and some of the events that we know. If you are a person who is responsible for a key event, say Camp Fest or Dia de los Muertos or any of the other major events that might happen in the next church year, I ask that you please go ahead and put your events up on that calendar with your preferred date. This helps with a few things. One, it helps the search committee, who will be selected today, to figure out how the search schedule works with the church calendar. It also helps us with planning so that we're not planning too many events all together. If you have any questions about the calendar or the things that are up there, please let me know. You'll also notice that there are monthly themes. Next year we will experiment with having a monthly theme for worship and for religious education, and so those themes are up there. If you have any questions about that, let me know. Second, next Sunday we're talking about sex, everybody's favorite topic. Yes, and it is sex for adults, which means I'm going to need one or two volunteers who would be willing to play games and other kinds of things with children out in another location so that we can have a grown-up talk. I just don't feel like talking about 50 Shades of Grey in front of just anyone. So if you are interested and willing in helping with that, please let me know. We will be going to one service starting next week at 10 o'clock. So starting next week, we'll be at one service, 10 o'clock every Sunday through the end of August, and then we'll start our new church calendar. And the final announcement is we are in search for one more worship associate. And I am getting the sense from the worship associates currently gathered that they are starting to feel the pressure of the fact that we are one worship associate shy. So if you are somebody who's been thinking about applying for worship associates and have kind of held off on it for a bit, please let me know ASAP. We really need your help. I think that you can talk to, if you're a worship associate, please stand. You can ask any of the worship associates that are here their experience, thank you very much, and learn more about how we do the program. by speaking with them. And with that, that concludes this morning's announcement.
We will begin our service this morning with a prelude. Call to worship words. However we spent yesterday, whatever happened in our lives to bring joy or sorrow, dismay or happiness, today is a new precious day for learning, loving, forgiving, and growing. We welcome this day as we are welcomed here at this church, a place of comfort, strength, and love.
Happily, it's only water. Doo-doo-doo. I need some volunteers who'd be willing to help me do the hand motions for our chalice lighting. Any age, young, older, whoever would like to. Kelvin's always a good volunteer. Come on over, Kelvin. Come join me. Any other volunteers? Really? You can tell Casey's not here. Where is she? Oh, you usually volunteer is all I'm saying. okay, good job. Okay, and so as Joy lights our chalice this morning, I invite you to join in our chalice lighting words. We light this chalice, we light this chalice, symbol of Unitarian Universalism. May it remind us of the divine spark in all of creation. The power of love to heal what is broken.
The power of love to heal what is broken.
And to be grateful for life's blessings each day.
And to be grateful for life's blessings each day.
Thank you very much. I invite you to please rise as your spirits and bodies allow and join in singing hymn number 1008, When Our Heart is in a Holy Place.
Thank you.
Today we talk about positive change, about the changes in our lives that are the gifts of living. Struggles though they may be, fraught with all kinds of uncertainty, change gives us potential. And as we conclude this church year with our annual meeting, with the conclusion of our religious education program, and the many ways in which we conclude our church year, we recognize that many of us have achieved a point of positive change and transformation. And on this day, we celebrate particularly our coming of age and our Whole Lives program participants. And I would first like for those who participated in our Whole Lives program this year to stand up for a moment. We had a rather big group this year, and I heard you did all kinds of fun things. I heard somebody hoarded M&Ms and didn't let anybody get better. I heard that people hid under tables and talked about all kinds of cool stuff. But most importantly, I heard that you grew up in all kinds of ways, and you learned how to be safer in the world. And a lot of your cohorts don't get to learn the things you got to learn this year. And so I congratulate you on completing that most important program, on becoming youth in body and in spirit. And so I ask the congregation to say, thank you for growing up.
Thank you for growing up.
And I'm done embarrassing you. Please be seated. In addition, we have the completion of our Coming of Age program. If you participated in the Coming of Age program, please stand up. Any of our Coming of Age program participants here? Coming of Age is a recognition of spiritual growth and development. It is a time when we say you are capable of making up your own mind. When so many other churches are telling you at your age that you have to believe in a certain thing, that you are a certain way, we gave you the opportunity, I hope, to come up with your own values and your own ideals. And as you go forward as youth who are spiritually adults, may you know it's a great power and a great struggle, and we welcome you into that. And so I invite the congregation here gathered to say, welcome to our spiritual community. Welcome to our spiritual community. Thank you, and please be seated. Now, I believe some of our coming of age folks were invited to share their statements. Is anybody willing to share their statements? This is an act of bravery right here. It's also your chance to tell the adults what you think. You only get so many of those. No? Yes? Okay. That's fine. If you decide you would like to share your statements in the future, please let me know. I'd be happy to include it in our worship service. So today we've got a story, something new and different, I know. I like telling stories. And I need a volunteer to be willing to help me open our Wonder Box. Yeah. Okay, so tell us your name.
Herman.
And what year are you in, what grade?
I'm in seventh grade.
You're in seventh grade. Any idea what's in the box? Other than air, we've established there's air in the box.
A letter.
A letter, ooh, there was a letter once. Any other ideas what might be in the box?
Bunny.
A bunny. Poor bunny. No, no bunny. Any other ideas?
A branch.
A branch. A snake. I would have to do some spiritual development before I could pull that one off. So, but you're getting closer. It's definitely in the world of living creatures. You want to open the box? What's in the box? What do you think that is?
It's a toy fish.
It's a fish, exactly right. And this one's supposedly a dolphin, and that one's supposedly a jellyfish. And we've got a clownfish. Yeah, we have an aquarium in our box today. Yes, thank you for your help. You can go join your family. So, I don't know why I'm speaking to the microphone. I don't need it. Put that back up there. Please. Thank you. So I've got a story about fish. How many of you have been to Seattle? How many of you have been to a place called Pike's Place Market? Yes. How many of you have been to a place in Pike's Place Market that sells fish? Some of you know this story I'm about to tell. So, some time ago, in this place called Pike's Place Market, there was a place that sold fish. And the fishmongers are people who sell fish, who work with fish, really hated their jobs. Because, you know, selling fish stinks, literally, right? And they're slimy, and it's cold, and folks are just, you know, they come in, I need a salmon, they're like, okay, let me wrap up a salmon and give it to you. There's no energy, no excitement. People didn't like their jobs, just kind of, ugh. You know, I certainly, anybody here want to be a fishmonger after I've said all that? Right, there are a couple, okay. There's always somebody. So the new owner of the fish market decided that he wanted to meet with the employees and see if there was a way that they could improve their jobs. And so they sat down and they met. And one of the newest and youngest employees said, I think we should become world famous. And of course, the owner's like, yeah, world famous. We're a fish market in Seattle. How are we going to be world famous? But the idea grew amongst the people who work there, and they started to get excited about their job just a little bit. And so they started to learn. And they learned that there were kind of four things that they needed to do to be able to make their job more enjoyable, more exciting, and therefore would actually improve the business. The first one is they just had to show up. Now, I can imagine dealing with stinky, smelly fish that just showing up would be a struggle unto itself. But they did. They showed up. And then the second thing was they chose their attitude. They could sit there and be all sour and bored and, you know, kind of ready to be out of their job, or they could be excited about selling fish. They chose the attitude that they would bring to the job. The third thing was they played. How many of you like to play? And there's certainly great potential for playing with fish. And that will become very important in a minute. And the other thing was, the fourth thing was to make people's day. To have folks, when they came to buy fish from them, really feel better when they left the place. Right? So they are starting to get excited about their job, and they're getting all energetic. Now, what used to happen is, I'm going to sit my fish down, is if you had a fish at the store, let's say I want that fish, the person would have to walk around the counter, get the fish, go back up, wrap the fish, and then go around and give you the fish. It just took a while, right? I need a couple of volunteer fishmongers. The girl back there, and yep, okay. And we can probably have one more. Oh, you already helped, so let's go there. Yeah, come on up. So everybody needs a fish. Yeah. I'm pretty sure they actually don't sell jellyfish at Pike's Market, but they might. I mean, you can have it. Okay. All right, so imagine I'm the person wrapping the fish. One of the folks walked around the counter, grabbed the fish, and tossed it to a person to wrap the fish. Toss it. Oop. And then they would wrap it and give it to the next person, right? To sell. All right, throw me another fish. Hoo-ah! Okay. You want to throw your jellyfish?
Careful, it might sting.
Ah! Thank you very much. And so the next thing you know, there's fish flying all over the market. And they are laughing and having fun. And suddenly this thing of like walking around, it became this joyous thing. And wouldn't you know it, but the Pike Place Fish Market has become world famous, particularly because they throw the fish How many of you have been there and seen the fish throwing? It has become a part of who they are. And if you go to their website, you can see tons of pictures of them throwing fish. Right? Yes. Throwing fish. Okay, you guys can go back and join your families. You can give me your fish, please. Okay. And so, they would throw their fish. And all of it came from four basic things. You remember what they were?
Sure.
Show up. Okay. Show up is one. Choose your attitude. That's one. Sarah's like, not me. I'm almost tempted to throw one right at you. What's the third one? Play. That's right. Play. Ruth, can you pass that to the person behind you? And what's the fourth one? Make someone's day. And that's, I think, one of the biggest things that made them world famous, is make someone's day. Now, those are not your fish to keep. We'll need them back at the end of service. They belong to the Crone Willis family. But when we're thinking about the positive change that happened with our coming of agers, positive change happening in the congregation, in the world, you think about those four things. You know, and one of those big ones, choose your attitude. And the second, you know, and play. Have fun while you do it. You know, we don't have to make change some terrible, horrible thing we face. We can have fun with it. And then if we commit to making other people's lives better through that change, all is possible. May it be so. So, this concept of positive change is something that's really big in the business world these days. And it's part of something called appreciative inquiry. Anybody been trained in appreciative inquiry? It's a way of thinking about change. And numerous companies and churches are engaging in this process and finding it is a way of accepting change in our world, and also allowing us to look at things not as problems to solve, but as ways of imagining and dreaming large. And so if you think about Verizon, now Verizon is really a company only been around for maybe a decade, right? It started out as multiple companies, and they committed back in the 90s to going through this process called appreciative inquiry. And they trained all of their management people and a bunch of their employees on how to engage in positive change. And so what they did was they started to look at what are our strengths and really living into the strengths that they had as a company. And as Tim White, the then president of GTE, before it became Verizon, said, that was hard for us because we are phone people. We were born to fix small problems that nobody was paying attention to. That's what we did. And so this was a major shift in thinking for the people who worked at GTE and then Verizon. But what they did was they started to look at recognizing their problems, but looking at it from the other side. So rather than seeing everything as a problem to fix, they go through what are our strengths, and then how can we address anything that might be coming up from those, and then really celebrate and work on our strengths, okay? In appreciative inquiry, what we call that is paying attention to what's working well and really building on that, and then saying, if we were to do this again, how might we do it again differently in a new way? Instead of saying there's something wrong with us, using every opportunity as a learning moment. And if we engage in learning moments, we can transform. Change is always uncomfortable. But when we think of it from a lens of positive change, it's an uncomfortable we can sit with. Yeah? How many of you like change? Okay. How many of you are married? How many of you liked getting married? How many of you were anxious when you got married? Yes. Right? It is a positive and an anxious thing. It's positive change. So that's what I mean by it can be uncomfortable and still positive. You know, we all have those experiences. It's the same thing when a child is born, when we graduate from high school, when we graduate from college, when we leave a job for a better job. Any of those things are times when we experience that. Now, Unitarian Universalism has been going through this time of positive change because, like every other religion in the world, we are facing a time when people are less inclined to go to church. They are less inclined to be involved with organized religion. And millennials as a generation are resistant to hierarchy and to large organizations and to groups that tend to hold on to particular values. For example, millennials are far less likely to be involved in the Democratic and the Republican parties because they feel like that's a little too trying to push an agenda and less about hearing. And the millennial generation, and quite frankly, some of the other generations, are becoming much more focused on networks. How many of you play War of Warcraft? How many of you play, what is the brick game? Minecraft. How many of you play Minecraft? Yes. And Minecraft is all about working together to build things, occasionally destroying other people's things. But if you really want to get far in the game, you have to work together, right? It's about networking, working across. And so institutions, businesses, and companies are starting to learn to work across. And for Unitarian Universalists, we call that the seventh principle. Anybody remember what the seventh principle is? The web of life of which we are a part, right? Literally, our theology fits what the future of religion is looking for. And so we've been exploring positive change in all kinds of ways, and it has been a struggle to be sure. But when we look at this positive change, we start to imagine new ways of doing things. And so more and more churches are stopping their kind of being monoliths unto themselves that has no relationship with anybody, to having churches work together and share resources. So for example, in New York, there are two churches. They put their budgets and their boards together into one thing, and now they have two ministers and a religious educator and an administrator and a membership coordinator and all of these people who can run the programs because the two churches saw the possibility of change by working together instead of being independent institutions not connected. Talk about a scary thing. Giving over your money and your board power and decision making to something that is not just your church, but is something larger, right? We've learned that having our youth on our boards helps create some of this change we're talking about. Having our youth participate on our committees in religious education and being leaders and having a voice creates positive change as well. I've been exploring all kinds of ways of doing positive change. And so I want you to keep in mind, as you're thinking about how this congregation changes and transitions and the next minister you're going to be calling, what kind of change can you engage in? What lifts up your strengths and helps you kind of hone off the growing edges that you're living with? And so we enter into a time of recognizing our joys and sorrows. We have engaged in a new ritual to do this, and so I invite you to take the stones. If you grabbed stones when you came in, and know that there's a bowl in the front and in the back, and if you didn't grab one when you came in, you can grab one from the bowl below. You are invited to come forward and take a stone for each joy and each sorrow in your life that you are living with, and to release it into the cleansing waters here in the bowl. If you tend to be more of a thoughtful type person, Use it as a way to bring those struggles and joys into your thoughtfulness and release it into the water. And if you're the kind of person who enjoys spirituality, you can release it into the water by releasing it to God or Goddess or to the earth, letting them be cleansed. Whatever meaning you make of this ritual is your own. I invite you now to come forward and place your stones in the bowl. Comfort me. Comfort me. Comfort me, O my soul. Comfort me. Comfort me. Comfort me, O my soul. Sing with me. Sing with me. Sing with me. Sing with me, O my soul. Sing with me. Sing with me. Sing with me, O my soul. Walk with me. Walk with me, walk with me, walk with me, O my soul. Walk with me, walk with me. Dance with me. Dance with me. Dance with me. Dance with me, O my soul. Dance with me. Dance with me. Comfort me.
Comfort me. Comfort me. Comfort me, O my soul. Comfort me.
And hum it. We place a stone for those joys and sorrows that we hold in the silent sanctuary of our hearts, and a stone for all those who could not be with us today. As we go into our time of meditation and prayer, at one point I will invite you to share the names, events, and places of those that you wish to have considered for joys and concerns from your seats. I invite you now to join me in a time of prayer, meditation, or contemplation. I invite you to take a deep breath in and out, and in and out, Now so your neighbor can hear you. In and out. Now one more time. In and out. On this day, we recognize changes in our lives. Changes in the lives of the young people here gathered and those throughout our community. To Margaret Berkeley, who will be graduating from high school. To all of our teens and preteens who completed their OWL Whole Lives program and the Coming of Age program. To those graduating into the elementary school. And to all those that we have lost this year, and to all those in other transformations throughout the course of life. Change is a reality and a truth. And we offer our presence, our celebration, and our comfort to one another through those changes. We offer our blessings, our healing thoughts, and our presence to all the joys and sorrows placed in this bowl. May this be a loving community dedicated to being with one another. And on this day, we hope in our hearts to all those in times of violence, to a young man maced while sitting in a jail cell, to a woman beaten on the streets, to all those experiencing violence because of the color of their skin, we offer our presence and our grace and our commitment to help heal the world. To all those experiencing discrimination and oppression, may you find the courage to rise up. May you find the support that you need. And may we remember we are forever imperfect in healing those transgressions. And yet we commit ourselves again and again. For those feeling overwhelmed and pain, experiencing illness or depression, may you know that you can be in this community as you are, and that our love and our grace are with you. And for those in times of joy and celebration, for the birth of children and the laughter and love of one another, we lift up our hearts and we share those joys, for we are certainly stronger together in them. I invite you now to share the names of those that you wish to be considered by this community in an embracing meditation.
Diane Fordyce.
Sandra Snyder. Baltimore and Minneapolis. For all those named and unnamed, and those lying in the silent sanctuary of our hearts, we offer our love and our support and our blessing. I invite you now into a time of brief silence.
Thank you.
The words for the offering are from Paul Beadle, minister of the First Unitarian Universalist Church of New Orleans. Once upon a time, most folks used the offering plate to fulfill their pledges of financial support. Nowadays, lots of folks click on their church website or set up automatic transfers from their checking accounts. Some still write a monthly check, paying their church bill along with all the others. But passing the offering plate was never just a practical exercise. It has always been a ritual. Even if your pledge is paid up, it is worthwhile for you to bring even just a dollar to drop into the plate as a ritual reminder of that form of love we call generosity. Let it be a reminder that after meeting our obligations to ourselves and our household and the communities to which we belong and are committed, we must still keep our capacity to give. The practice of giving, until it is second nature and first response, helps bring forth the realm of love. The offering will now be gratefully received. May it be lovingly given.
I invite you to join me in reciting our offertory words. To the work of the church, which is weaving a tapestry of love we call community, we dedicate ourselves and these our offerings. If you were a teacher in the nursery or in the spirit play class, I invite you to please stand up. If you taught in the elementary class this year, please stand up. And this could be as a substitute or as a main teacher, anybody. If you worked with our youth group this year, Coming of Age, Our Whole Lives, any of those programs, please stand up. If you taught adult religious education this year, I know at any point, D, please stand up. Anybody else who has taught in any form this year, please rise. Oh, and the coexist people, thank you. If you taught the coexist program, please rise. Okay, if you volunteered in any way, shape, or form with the religious education program this year, please stand up. Right. Congregation, I invite you to shout, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I don't believe you. Try that again.
Thank you.
All right, now just the kids.
Thank you.
Now just the adults.
Thank you.
Now if you're over 50.
Thank you.
Ah, wow, that's a big group. If you're under 50.
Thank you.
The over 50 was still louder. Well done. All right, if you didn't get it already, we want to thank you for your service and for everything that you did. We know it is hard work, and in the face of already busy lives, you gave your time and your presence and your commitment to help all of us lead more meaningful and purposeful lives. And out of appreciation, we have a gift of a bookmark, and we need some younger folks to kind of come up and help us pass out bookmarks to everybody who taught this year. They include our seven principles in the UU Kid version of them. Can I have one? I taught.
You did. Thank you.
Can't have too many bookmarks. I invite you to please join our teachers and rise in your body as your bodies and spirits allow and join in singing hymn number 1012, When I Am Frightened. For certainly these teachers have been with us as we have been frightened, as we have been joyous, as we have grown. This time I invite Juliet to come forward and explain why Mary and I are sitting on a bench. Mary and I are going to get off the bench for a minute.
Okay. So as our year, for our elementary kids in particular this year, we had three different themes of types of Sundays. We had what we called Coexist Sunday, where we brought people into the classroom who were from other faith traditions but were still part of the Unitarian Church, and we had them talk about their faith tradition. We had Nature Sundays, where they went out exploring in the world, and we had Social Service Sundays. And our social service projects were greatly varied. We worked on the personal care kits for the prison program, and we worked on things for the animal shelter. But for all of our classes, we wanted to end the year focusing on Unitarian Universalism. And so for our social service project, in the elementary class in particular, we decided to put together this bench for our own church. The bench has the rainbow colors, and on each one of the colors is one of our seven principles. And what started out as a project specifically for the elementary class may
may have morphed into some of the youth group, because some of the days where we were working on it, we only had youth group people here. So if you helped paint or write on the bench, would you stand up? Yay! I love it. And our plan is to place the bench outside. You know, we have one bench over here. We thought we'd put a bench over there, too, so everyone can sit on it.
Good.
So on the bench are the principles that are taught to our youngest, and we are going to sing those principles to bless our bench to the tone of Do a deer, a female deer. So it goes, one each person is worthwhile. You got it? All right. Okay, hold on. Some of you are like shooting right out the gate. You're ready to go. Okay, all right, let's do it. One each person is worthwhile. Two, be kind in all you do.
Reading is from a book entitled Growing a Beloved Community, 12 Hallmarks of a Healthy Congregation by Reverend Tom Owen Toll, Minister Emeritus of the First Unitarian Universalist Church of San Diego. And I'm reading selections from a chapter called Keep Journeying. Unitarian Universalism is fluid, unsettled, growing, a movement. Everything matters, because nothing is carved in stone. According to our tradition, each step of the religious journey holds some deepening affirmation, some correcting discipline, some fresh wonder. There are multiple directions to tread on the road to the beloved community: downward into the natural order, backward into historical context, outward to broadcast our good news and to serve society, inward to feed our own souls while shepherding our home flock, and upward in prayerful aspiration and gratitude. But the primary direction of healthiness in church life is forward. Unitarian Universalism, historically, theologically, and ecclesiastically, is an unfinished adventure. Everyone who enters our sanctuaries reaches not a stopping place, but a way station on the road. We sometimes falter or spin out of control, but a healthy church balances personal growth, spiritual awakening, and social justice in creative alignment. We know that we must keep on journeying toward what the Universalists called the larger hope. Our true direction as a beloved community is ever forward, and all are asked to bring their special gifts along for the ride.
What kind of change are we talking about? Positive. I love it when folks really kind of get involved in whatever it was. Just kind of keep going with it. Truthfully, beloved community only comes out and about because of positive change. By saying that we are imperfect, we know that. But rather than treating ourselves as a problem to be fixed, that we have great strengths, and that by using our strengths to respond to those places where we need to grow, we can create a better world. It isn't that the police engage in racist practices. It isn't that the police have necessarily killed or hurt people. I mean, it is that. It is that so many of the police officers who engage in that refuse to apologize or admit that anything is wrong, that the justice system refuses to admit that anything is wrong. And so when we're thinking about our societal beloved community, how can we heal those injustices? But the other flip side of that is we also don't recognize that those same officers have strengths, and that when we play into those strengths and help them to utilize change, that there's less defensiveness. The discomfort is still present, but there's less defensiveness. Now, how many of you, when you have said something offensive and been called on it, your first reaction was to defend yourself? I know I've done it. I think most of us get into that place, whether we want to admit to it or not. And in those moments, I have to remind myself I'm still a good person, because we live in a society that does not use positive change as a way to view the world. Many people are taught that either you're good or you're bad, and there is no other choice. How many of you grew up in a religion where that was what you were taught? You're either good or you're bad. In fact, there's a good chance, you know, you were born in original sin and there's not a darn thing you can do about it. You are just a bad person and that's it. And how hard is it to want to change when all you're hearing is you're a bad person? How many of you want to change if I tell you you're wrong? Or there's something wrong with you, right? Yeah. So it's important to be present to the fact that our society does that as a whole. It doesn't mean we're going to be perfect, and sometimes we're going to get into those negative places. I do it, you do it, we all do it. But the fundamental transformation with positive change is to say that we are good people with strengths. And when we live into that goodness, we heal the world. And we create that beloved community where people of all ages are respected, where the youngest among us have wisdom, and the oldest among us have wisdom, and everybody is treated with respect, regardless of gender or class or race or language. Unitarian Universalism has many of the strengths and skills that can help bring positive change into a world that is blighted with this either or good or bad thinking. We have that wisdom. We have that wisdom for the future. We have a message that speaks to people across the generations. We have to be careful, though, because if we get stuck in our old way of always doing church, church is all about Sunday, and it's all about doing this and this and this, we fail to see the potential of positive change, the changes that come and bring out good things and more people and more ideas and help us become better. So I invite you to think about, in your own life, some struggle you're facing. How many of you feel shame in your lives sometimes? Shame's a hard one to admit. And the thing about shame is that we don't talk about it a lot because we believe whatever we're ashamed about is a fact instead of the feeling that it is. That's an example of negative energy being involved. And when you focus on positive change, you say, yeah, I did this thing, and I feel stupid or ugly or horrible or like a bad person for doing it. I and every other person who has ever done this. So you start to expand your circle. It's not just me, it's everybody, because you're not the only one who's done it. And then you start to say, and I am a good person with strengths. What in those can help me be a better person? And when we practice that in our own lives, we can practice that in the world. And when the world starts practicing that, we start to dream large. We start to dream big. In the fall, when we return together as a religious community and start the next church year, we will be focusing on the mission and vision of this congregation, on the next minister that you want. We will be very forward-thinking. And all of that will come out of a place of positive change, because I know some of you are like, can we be done with the changes already? But you got at least another 2 years of them, because you've got another year with me and then a whole new minister to break in. Right? So if we think it in terms of positive change, of what's good about and what's helping us, we may get through this a little bit easier and we may do it together.
May it be so.
I invite you to rise as your spirits and bodies allow. We're going to sing Where Do We Come From? We're going to do this in bits and pieces. So let's start out with the first line. Where do we come from? Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? And by the way, if I stop clapping, don't feel like you have to. I have a pinched nerve in my back, and sometimes when I clap, it hurts. So I actually appreciate it if you keep doing it when I kind of bow out. All right. Where do we come from? Where do we come from? Where do we come from? Where really loud. Mystery, life is a riddle and a mystery, 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 life is a riddle and a mystery, 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 life is a riddle and a mystery, 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 life is a riddle and a mystery. Where do we come from? Where are we going? Where do we come from? Where are we going? Where do we come from? Where are we going? Where do we come? Where are we going? This group. Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Where do we come from? What are we? Where are we going? Keep going. This half, the chandelier. Where do we come from? Where do we come from? Really loud. Mystery.
Mystery, mystery, life is a riddle and a mystery, 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 life is a riddle and a mystery.
Shout it.
Mystery.
Mystery.
Y'all ready?
Come from Where are we going? Where do we come from? Where are we going?
You guys are great!
Everybody on mystery. Mystery, mystery, life is a riddle and a mystery. Everyone a mystery. Mystery, mystery, life is a riddle and a mystery. Really loud. Mystery, mystery, life is a riddle and a mystery. Really soft. Mystery, mystery. Life is a riddle and a mystery. Mystery, mystery. Life is a riddle and a mystery. Boy, howdy. That was awesome. Great job. I invite you to face across the chandelier towards your neighbors. These are your people. This is your community. We welcome you here this day to all here gathered, and we invite you to take this energy, this positive change, this momentum out into the world, for the world needs you. May you be enough. May you throw lots of fish, lots and lots of fish, just like the man in the picture up there. Yeah, if you have a fish, feel free to throw it. Throw the fish. And know that we will be here to catch the fish for you next week and the weeks to come. May it be so. Our worship has ended. Let our service begin as we listen to Dylan.
If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Some writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin. And there's no telling who that it's naming. 'Cause the loser now will be later to win. For the times, they are a-changing. Senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't lock up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. Mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging, Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand, for the times they are a-changing. It is drawn, the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last, for the times they are a-changin'.